a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
South Dakota House of Representatives will now come to order. Leading us in our prayer today will be Pastor Paul Bly from the Pier Fort Pier Ministerial Association. Leading our pledge will be Paige Michaela Olson from Groton.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you stretch out the heavens and the earth in beauty and in power, and yet you are mindful of the very least in your vast universe. How are we to know both of your majesty and of your mercy? And, O Lord, how are we to know our place in your benevolent workings? We simply and humbly come before you, offering our abilities for the sake of the well-being of others and for the common good. Guide us, inspire us, and empower us so that your will might be done among us. We pray for the people of this state, especially for the very poorest among us. We pray for these elected officials, and we ask that they be granted safe travels. We pray for all of the workers behind the scenes and all of our families, wherever they may be. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Clerk, will please call the roll.
Abdullah, Blake, Bowen, Boomgarden, Bruner, Carson, Consett, Cronin, Dielstra, Dennard, Dryden, Elliott, Fargent, Feichert, Feinstein, Gibson, Gosch, Greenfield, Hager, Hansen, Hawley, Hickey, Hoffman, Hubble, Hunhoff, Hunt, Ironclaw, Jensen, Jones, Killer, Kirkaby, Kirschman, Klochak, Kopp, List, Lucas, Lust, Magstead, Miller, Mosier, Munsterman, Nelson, Nordstrup, Olson, Perry, Rompkema, Rosem, Russell, Schaefer, Schramp, Scott, Sigdestad, Sly, Solem, Steele, Street, Stricker, Stornell, Tolson, Turberville, Van Gerpen, Vanneman, Benner, Verschiel, White, Wick, Willitson, Wink, Wismer, and Speaker Rausch.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, our quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 22nd day. In the House Journal of the 18th day, the following corrections should be made. On page 397, delete line 18, delete, and on line 19, delete HJR 1001. On page 397, after line 20, insert. Also, Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that HJR 1001 was delivered to His Excellency the Secretary of State for filing at 8:45 a.m., February 9, 2012. All additional errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Val Rausch, Chair.
All those in favor of approval of the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Journal is approved. Representative Dielstra.
Personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of myself and Representative Hickey, I'd like to welcome some folks from the Hartford Economic Development Corporation and a couple of West Central students sitting behind the speaker. Gary Sandholm, please stand as I call your name, if you would, please. Gary Sandholm, John Roars, Bill Marketon, Christian Witt, and Shane Burns. Please help us welcome them to the House.
Representative Turberville.
Personal privilege, please.
Granted, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my granddaughter, Abby Kitts.
Welcome, Abby.
Mr. Speaker, personal privilege.
Granted, Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Over on your left, our right, is my wife, Nancy Feinstein, her first chance to get her this session. Please welcome her.
Welcome. Further guests? Representative Venner.
A very special personal privilege for me, sir.
Granted.
I have five people, and they're all five sitting right up here in the front row. The two most important are my mother and dad. Would you just wave, mother and dad? That's my mother and dad. My dad is the only hero I've ever had in my life, and the two of them taught me the value of a good hard day's work. My wife is sitting there next to my mother. That's Denise. And that's my aunt, my mother's sister, on the far right. She was a page here a couple years ago, right? And then my Uncle John over here. Thank you for welcoming me.
Welcome. On behalf of Representatives Tolson and Greenfield, we have the Lake Preston senior classes here and their chaperones and teacher. Please stand. Lake Preston, welcome. Further guests? Hearing none. Reports of standing committees?
The Committee on Retirement Law respectfully reports that Senate Bill 31 do pass, Senate Bill 29 and 30 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Manny Steele, Chair. The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that Senate Bill 83 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Kim Vanneman, Chair. The Committee on Taxation respectfully reports that Senate Bill 20, 73, 100, and 111 do pass. K. Willitson, Chair. The Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that Senate Bill 81 and 113 do pass, Senate Bill 116 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and Senate Bill 157 was referred to the Committee on Commerce and Energy. Mike Vergil, Chair. The Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that Senate Bill 58 and 66 do pass, and Senate Bill 67 and 137 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Mark Kirkby, Chair. The Committee on Appropriations respectfully reports that Senate Bill 25 do pass. Dean Wink, Chair.
On behalf of Representative Greenfield, Tolson, White, and Gibson, we would like to welcome the James Valley Christian Seniors and their chaperone teacher. Please stand, James Valley. Welcome. Representative Magstead.
I'd like to pick on one student in the James Valley School, my nephew, Blaze. My favorite nephew is up there. Welcome him to the House of Representatives.
Welcome, Blaze. Messages?
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return herewith HCR 1008, in which the Senate has concurred. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return herewith House Bills 1005, 1006, 1007, 1020, 1021, 1029, 1033, 1034, 1035, 1036, 1037, 1038, 1040, 1041, 1049, 1055, 1060, 1061, 1062, 1070, 1073, 1115, 1119, 1124, 1147, 1177, 1183, 1203, 1223, and 1232, which have passed the Senate without change. Respectfully, Fee Jacobson, Secretary.
Sounds like I have a lot of bills to sign. Motions and resolutions. We have Representative Sly and Sandy.
Representative Sly moves that House Page Resolution 3 be adopted.
All those in favor of the Sly motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Representative Sly, you have the floor.
A resolution
expressing the appreciation and gratitude of the House of Representatives of the 87th Legislature of the state of South Dakota. As I read your name, please come across. It'll be in alphabetical order. Catherine Hickey, Rachel Howard, Jordan Jones, Jessica Lentz, Katrina Martinez, Lana Nelson, Rebecca Nelson, Michaela Olson, Chelsea Olson, Bailey Ringenberg, Tabitha Siemens, Sarah Tao, Andrew Weber, Aaron Willardson, Emily Zietlow, Brady Zietlow. I will continue with the resolution. Whereas the above named serve loyally as pages for the House of Representatives of the 87th Legislative Session, and whereas the members of the 87th House of Representatives express their most sincere appreciation to these young people for their service to the state, and whereas the members extend to these young people their wishes for every success in life. Let's show our appreciation.
Thank you, pages. Back to work.
House Concurrent Resolution 1009, urging the federal government to honor tribal identification cards. Representative Less moves that HCR 1009 be deferred to Tuesday, February 21st, the 24th legislative day.
All those in favor of the Less motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
House Concurrent Resolution 1010, urging Congress to adopt a proposed constitutional amendment limiting federal legislation to a single subject. Yes. Representative Hansen moves that HCR 1010, as found in the House Journal, be adopted.
Representative Hansen's motion has been moved and seconded. It's up for consideration. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. I'm excited to bring you today House Concurrent Resolution 1010. This resolution calls on our Congress to propose a constitutional amendment to the states, creating a single subject provision in our federal constitution. That provision would read just like South Dakota's, that no law shall embrace more than one subject which shall be expressed in its title. Federal legislation today has become increasingly complex, lengthy, and filled with such varying items that the meaning and effects of proposed law are oftentimes very difficult to discern and detect. This substantially hinders open government and the public's ability to understand proposed laws. Now, compare that with South Dakota legislation, where bills are easily read and understood, not just by members of the legislature here, but by the public at large. Now, that is in large part thanks to our single subject provision, which focuses our legislation for the betterment of all those interested in our legislative activity. An overwhelming majority of the states, 43 to be specific, have same subject provisions in their constitution. Now, this has worked very well for generations in all of these states, and we should expect the same openness and focus from our federal government. Now, this provision certainly wouldn't solve all of our nation's problem, but it would be a great first step. It would allow our country to focus on what we agree on without having to solve all of our differences at once. Now, I hope that we can pass this resolution through this legislature. And if we do, it certainly wouldn't be the end of this movement. In fact, it's really just the beginning. There is a great new nonpartisan movement started in South Dakota called One Step America. And they are going to take this message to the other states, and then they're going to bring it to Congress. The nation can learn a lot of things from South Dakota. And this is one of those things. So thank you for your time and your favorable consideration of this resolution. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I, too, would urge you to vote yes for House Concurrent Resolution 1010. This is intended for our federal government to pass legislation on its own merits so that we will not have this pork barrel legislation and the earmark legislation that's occurred over past years. It will probably make the process of passing funding resolutions and laws in Congress more timely and lengthy, but nonetheless, if they can pass on their own merits, I think that's what it's intended for. Small rural states like South Dakota will need to band together in coalitions with other states with similar likes. As far as, you know, what is one single issue in a bill or in a law, it's kind of like the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. There's been times on this floor that I've questioned some of our legislation that's went through with several subjects in one bill. And in most cases, they're not challenged. But I know there has been some challenges over the years that can end up in the court system. And generally what the court system has ruled, because they don't like to get involved in telling us what we should or should not pass. But if those issues cannot stand on their own merits individually, then they ought not to be grouped together. So you might want to think on this a little bit and not just do as they say and not as I do, but really put this to heart with all our legislation that we pass in this body. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Torno.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is one concurrent resolution I couldn't be more pleased to second. And I would just reiterate the remarks of my good seatmate here. I think he did a nice job in presenting this concurrent resolution 1010. And I would say this is, again, an occasion where I think Washington can learn well from South Dakota most of the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being Representative Hansen's motion that HCR 1010 be adopted. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 64 yeas, 0 nays.
Hansen motion having received affirmative vote of majority of the members elect, Speaker declared the motion carried and HCR 1010 was adopted.
House Concurrent Resolution 1011, requesting that a United States Navy submarine be named the USS South Dakota. The Speaker has waived the committee referral. Representative Less moves that Senate Bill 170 be referred from the Committee on State Affairs to the Committee on Commerce and Energy.
All those in favor of the Less motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Less moves that the report of the Standing Committee on Judiciary on Senate Bill 42 as found on page 481 of the House Journal be adopted.
All those in favor of the Less motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now have what we call our consent calendar. These are bills that have gone through the committee process have found no opposition to them. The committee, as an expedient measure, has just simply asked us to trust their judgment and pass these bills on. Any member here can pull a bill off of this list and debate it on the next day's calendar, but they are certainly able to ask questions today if they would like. We'll now have second reading of our consent calendar.
Senate Bill 5, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the distribution of state publications. Senate Bill 19, an act to revise the rulemaking authority of the Commission on Gaming to allow the Commission to authorize the Executive Secretary of the Commission on Gaming to take certain actions on gaming licensees. Senate Bill 56, an act to revise and repeal certain provisions relating to the South Dakota Housing Development Authority. Senate Bill 57, an act to revise and repeal certain administrative rules relating to the South Dakota Housing Development Authority. Senate Bill 168, an act to revise the terms and expiration dates of appointees to certain boards and commissions. Senate Bill 115, an act to implement the regulation of insurance coverage for portable electronic devices. Senate Bill 39, an act to expand the definition of victim for the purposes of certain written victim impact statements. Senate Bill 41, an act to authorize retailers to choose whether to submit pseudoephedrine purchase records electronically or in writing.
Consent calendar items having had their second reading up for consideration final passage. Are there any questions? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration of the consent calendar items. All those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. Clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Ramkaman Scott. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 63 yeas, one nay.
Consent calendar items having received majority vote of the members-elect is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the titles? Hearing none, titles. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now enter the debate portion of our calendar, second reading of Senate bills.
Representative Less moves that Senate Bill 11 be placed to precede Senate Bill 107 on today's calendar.
All those in favor of the Less motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Senate Bill 11, an act to authorize the Governor's Office of Economic Development to create and administer a working capital loan program.
Senate Bill 11, having had its second reading, is up for consideration, final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Wick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Senate Bill 11 is, as the was just read to you, just an act to allow the Governor's Office of Economic Development to create and administer a working capital loan program. Its support for small businesses. Economic concerns at the federal level have made it difficult for South Dakota small businesses to access working capital they need to grow and expand, and sometimes start up. The GOED is answering this industry concern with the South Dakota Works loan program. Under South Dakota Works, small business be allowed easier access to financing such as working capital or for inventory, accounts receivable, startup costs, and other loans so businesses can realize their full potential. Three South Dakota companies have already qualified for these loans. The expansion of services requires no South Dakota state dollars. It's funded with a $13 million federal grant program that GOED applied for and received from the U.S. Department of Treasury this last October. These federal funds were awarded to South Dakota under the Small Business Jobs Act of 2010. And under that act, we'll receive installments of $4.3 million, and they're to be used for a revolving fund for working capital for these business loans as permitted under the act. The state must request the third installment within 2 years. They come one installment at a time. And after 5 years, the funds will no longer be subject to the current federal agreement and will be available to the GOED, their use for economic development in South Dakota, so it'll stay here permanently. The U.S. Treasury allows for payment on administration fees of up to 5% the first year and 3% for years 2 and 3. And then after that time, it has to fund itself in that direction. I think this is a good way for us to help some of our smaller companies expand and grow or start up. And I'll stand by for questions and ask for your green vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Fargin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also rise in support of this bill. This bill utilizes the $13 million of federal money through the Obama's Jobs Act bill that was passed in 2010. By partnering up with banks on loans, we're spreading out any potential risk between the federally backed South Dakota Works Program and private lending industry. The loan amount can be up to $1 million and minimum amount of $20,000. This is exactly the type of partnership we need out of the federal government, working with state governments and private businesses. I want to thank President Obama for his leadership on small business with this bill on this support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question, this is a two-thirds vote. Hearing no further remarks, question before the House, final consideration of Senate Bill 11. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Representative Rompkema.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege, please.
Granted, sir.
It's my great pleasure to announce to you that up on the, to my immediate right are the fourth grade classes from Spearfish, Mrs. Tiffany and Mrs. Merchant. The students are here. Could you rise,
all you kids, please stand. Welcome.
Representative Torno. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 63 yeas, one nay.
Senate Bill 11, having received two-third majority vote of members-elect, hereby declared passed. Any questions with the title? Representative Fargin.
I just want to say thank you for everybody to show their support for President Obama on that vote. Thank you.
That's out of order.
Senate Bill 107 has had its second reading.
Senate Bill 107, having had its second reading, is up for consideration, final passage. Are there any remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration of Senate Bill 107. All those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Russell, Tolson, Turbeville, and Wick. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 63 yeas, one nay.
Senate Bill 107, having received majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 69 has had its second reading.
Senate Bill 69, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Speaker. Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. Senate Bill 69 will repeal the moratorium on the construction of nursing homes on Indian reservations in South Dakota. This sunset was passed back in 2010. At that time, there was plans to build a nursing home on Pine Ridge, and due to the recession and the lack of financing for that, they were not able to get that financed, and so we're asking for a little more time to get that done. The Department of Social Service nor did the Governor's Office oppose this, so I'd ask for your support to pass Senate Bill 69. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Back in 2003, this legislature allowed an exemption from the moratorium on nursing home beds so that a facility could be constructed at Eagle Butte. In 2005, they embarked upon the construction project. In 2006, 2007, and 2008, this legislature was asked to, again, extend the exemption so that yet another facility could be constructed. That would imply perhaps a critical and immediate need. In 2010, this legislature passed House Bill 1210. That did put this exemption in place. However, I had learned that the existing facility at Eagle Butte, which is a most beautiful building and undoubtedly cost several million dollars of federal funds, had never been opened for business in over 4 years. I mentioned my concern on this floor, but we were assured that the structure would be operational in the immediate future. Earlier this week, I did some checking, and unfortunately, their tomorrow has never come. That facility remains a very beautiful, ornate, and unfortunately empty building. I'm reminded that those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it. I hope this brief reflection on the legislative history of this issue has at least made you reflect on on this issue, and I'm asking for your red vote, and realize also that this would be an open-ended exemption with no sunset. It's not extending the sunset. It extends it into perpetuity. So with that, I'm going red, and I encourage you to do the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Schrempf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, the nursing home in Eagle Butte, that's in my area, and the reason that hasn't been opened and it's about ready to open now is because it was architectural designs that was wrong. Some of the water pipes froze, and they had to reconstruct some of it, and they've been working on it for quite some time, and it's ready to be open. So I ask you people to vote green on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Any member like to speak before Representative Lucas speaks a second time? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill that we did have a sunset provision in it, and my honorable speaker, representative, sitting behind me, asked for a little more time. And if this was a little more time, I could go along with it because I think there is a need there. But the fact that this is indefinite, I have to oppose it and will be voting red. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Killer.
Mr. Speaker, I thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the acknowledgement. And I just, and I guess I'm just going to have to go against my seatmate on, and really, you know, I think this is a really good opportunity to begin to build relationships between communities that have not historically been there. And that's something that, you know, building these bridges and saying that, you know, how can we move forward to kind of advance the needs of all of our citizens for South Dakota, both younger and older. And that's something that I really want to encourage. And I'll keep this short that, you know, my senator needs some place to retire as well. So that's where he needs to, I think he's kind of thinking about that. That's what we talked about before. And, you know, I just really encourage the body to think about that and move forward and help build those relationships, because it is a new day. It is a new time, and it's trying to figure out how do we build upon some of the successes that we had in this legislature for the future benefit of, like, not only citizens in 10 years, but 20 years, and have them to look forward to really develop those partnerships. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Virtue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I was fortunate enough as a member of State Tribal Relations Committee to make a trip up to Eagle Butte, and we did take a tour of that wonderful nursing home facility, and I get along really great with the representative from Landry, and he's a great guy, but that's been fixed for a long, long time, and in conversations with the people there with them, they see no time in the near future that that's going to be open, and it's a stunningly beautiful facility. I'd love to live there myself, but the fact is, it still remains empty. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Well, keep your eye on the ball. This isn't about the nursing home in Eagle Butte. And I don't believe there's any state money put into that nursing home in Eagle Butte. And there isn't any state money that's earmarked for any construction of a nursing home for any Indian reservation in this bill before you, in Senate Bill 69. What is in there is logistics. Many of you probably went to the presentation that Dr. Gross gave earlier on in the session about demographics. If you went to that, you noticed where South Dakota is growing. Minnehaha, Lincoln counties, a little bit in Pennington, and a lot on the Indian reservations. There are very few nursing homes there. There's a small nursing home in White River for Rosebud that's full. There was none in Eagle Butte, and there has been some problems there. I won't contend that, but that's not the issue with this. The Native Americans from Pine Ridge would have to go to Bennett County or go to Kadoka. Kadoka's full. Bennett County runs at near capacity. They have like 38 or 39 out of 40 beds. In a short period of time, we're going to get Senate Bill 196 that's going to ask that we reallocate 74 nursing beds to areas of need throughout the state. The area of needs is on the reservations. Where are they going to go when they need daily assistance because they can't take care of themselves and there's no family member that can take care of them? They used to go to Bennett County. The inn's full. Kadoka, it's full there. Now, what will happen if they do build this in Pine Ridge, which I believe will happen, and I believe, and part of the problem, quite frankly, with all this is getting staff on the reservations. A lot of people don't want to live there professionally and set up a practice there in health care. But that needs to be addressed in other means. But if we pass Senate Bill 196, which I expect, some of those nursing home beds from Rapid City can be then reallocated to this facility that Pine Ridge will build. There won't be any state money in the construction. The Medicaid money is going to follow the patient. The tribes will still have to put money in to keep it afloat because even with it's 100% Medicaid, that's not going to be enough to operate it. There may be some federal funding that would come, but it would have to be back to what we just talked about, probably a special earmark legislation or special bill for that to happen. So it's not easy to build these, find staff, and make them be financially afloat, I guess, so that you're not operating in the red. So I please urge you to pass this. Again, it's something that doesn't affect any of us in here except for
a couple of representatives that live on Pine Ridge. The other 68 of us in this body are not affected by this at all, and it won't cost you or the state government one dime. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Any member like to speak before Representative Greenfield speaks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. The day is brief. Just remember, this isn't going to cost us anything as far as I'm concerned, because we're going to take care of these nursing home patients wherever they end up. We're just talking about trying to help them be closer to home, just as you would want for your own families. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege, I would say, of traveling to the Pine Ridge Reservation to meet an old fellow named Clarence Wolfguts. Quite a name. He thought it was a funny name himself. His dad wanted him to have a unique name. They called him Wolfguts. And he ended up being one of the code talkers in World War II and risked his life every day for 3 or 4 years. And in fact, he always wondered why he had a bodyguard. He said, why am I so special that I have a bodyguard? Well, he found out later the bodyguard was there to shoot him in case they were captured. I mean, that was the kind of service he gave to us in World War II. And when I was in, he wanted to come home to Pine Ridge for a long, long time. And there was no nursing home. Finally, they put him into an assisted living, and he spent his last couple of years there. Probably should have been in a nursing home. Many, many, many of our Native Americans have fought hard for this country. And a great number of them are veterans. And there's no veterans' homes on the reservations. We know that. And this is just a little bit we can do. It doesn't cost us any money. A little bit we can do for those great Native Americans like Clarence Wolfguts. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Any member like to speak before Representative Greenfield speaks a second time? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, first of all, one of my neighbors asked me, it's been 4 years that that structure sat empty, the one that I mentioned in my comments, and it's actually been, I believe, in excess of six. When I spoke of 4 years, that was a flashback to 2010 when we passed the legislation that we're being asked to wipe out the sunset on. Ladies and gentlemen of this body, the money that rains down from the federal government comes from somewhere. It's not free money. It's not that this is a freebie. We're being asked to construct another nursing facility when the one that we allowed for back in 2003 has never been inhabited. And again, I ask you that we consider that as we proceed. It's nothing personal. It's a matter of learning from our past. I heard many of these same arguments, in fact, back then. The prime sponsor of this Senate bill, the Senate prime sponsor was the House prime sponsor back in the day. Many of the arguments haven't changed, but it is pressing as the needs seemed to be back in 2003. The building that was constructed was never staffed, never inhabited, etc. And I have grave concerns about that going forward. So with that, I would again encourage you to consider a no vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reservations, the 9 reservations are as diverse as the 66 counties. If a reservation fails in Clay County, or if a nursing home fails in Clay County, we don't say we're never going to build another nursing home in Turner County or Yankton County or Bonham County. Separate the issue. Because there's one failure doesn't mean we can't have numerous successes. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Killer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. And I just want to assure the body, too, that there has been talks with various tribes that have casino revenues outside of the state who are actually going to think about putting up the money to do this. And I know they were thinking about it in Nebraska. So that's not I don't think that's really a big issue. But the other part of it, too, is that, you know, we can always pull the sunset clause off after those building processes have been negotiated. And I think I was thinking about the sponsor of this bill, and, you know, he thinks he's going to live forever, you know. So that's a lot of it, you know. But part of it, you know, you have to pull off that clause, and, you know, after that gets negotiated. So I think that's one remedy that we can think about doing. But there is, you know, I do want to assure the body that there is sponsors out there that are willing to, and they do have the money to invest in that. But it's just making sure that we build those partnerships and we have this legislation. So thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Torno.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, As I so often say on this floor, this is one time where the good representative from Clark has it right. Let's remember that this bill did have a sunset that was agreed to, that was proposed and agreed to back at the time when this legislation was enacted. Let's be good government. Let's not be the way they are in the federal government. And I couldn't agree more that these are federal dollars. I appreciate the comments by the good representative here that pitched the bill. But I noticed every time he said there are no state dollars involved here. But there are federal dollars. And that costs all of us as taxpayers. When you have a facility that isn't used, that is something to take into consideration. It isn't something that we should overlook. But again, keep in mind that, you know, too often in Washington, D.C., they say, we'll have a sunset on this, we'll have a sunset on that, and that's how you get a bill through, and then, oh, later, let's just take it off. Well, I would urge you to look at this. That's exactly what we're being asked to do here that has been pitched over and over and over. It's time to say no and vote red. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration of Senate Bill 69. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Dielstra and Magstead. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 39 yeas, 25 nays.
Senate Bill 69, having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 72, an act to regulate persons offering speech, language, pathology to the public.
Senate Bill 72, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Romkema.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, I'm here today to ask for your support for Senate Bill 72 that provides protection for people offering speech pathology in our public schools, in our hospitals, and nursing homes. Speech pathology has been regulated since 1969, with the first licensure granted to Florida speech and language pathologists. Since that time, an additional 47 states and the District of Columbia have enacted licensure laws for speech-language pathology. Related professions including medicine, audiology, podiatry, massage therapy, physical therapy are regulated by licensures in the state. Speech-language pathology should be regulated by an authorized board in South Dakota, just as are other medical professions that are regulated. Thus, we need a licensure law. The rationale. Today, as stated previously, we're one of only three states in the nation that do not have licensing requirements or formalized methods of ensuring ethical and professional standards among its speech-language profession. Given the shortage of qualified speech and language pathologists, the assistants have gained prominence across the country. Properly regulated speech and pathology assistants are working under the supervision of speech and language pathologists, providing valuable and timely services, particularly in public school settings. To that end, and at the behest of a number of educational institutions in South Dakota, a speech pathology assistant program was started at Mitchell Technical Institute. The initiation of this program requires that a defined relationship be initiated between supervising speech language pathologists and speech-language pathology assistance in order to assure that supervisory, ethical, and professional standards are met in order to provide quality services to South Dakotans needing speech pathology services. In addition, there has existed for a number of years a gap in the ability of South Dakota to actually enforce ethical and professional standards in the speech-language pathology community. Therefore, the establishment of a state board of examiners for speech-language pathology is required. In general, this bill addresses quality, accountability, and internal and external credibility for the profession. Specifically, this bill will establish or provide a state board of examiners for speech-language pathology under the jurisdiction of the Department of Health, with a requisite authority to set standards, provide licensure, collect dues and fees, and provide professional and ethical oversight of the speech-language pathology community, to include disciplinary action and suspension of or revocation of license. Number two, ethical and professional standards for South Dakota speech and language pathologists and speech-language pathology assistants. Commencement with the American Speech and Language Hearing Association guidance. Number three, supervisory guidance is needed to allow for the professional use of speech-language pathology under the supervision of a speech-language pathology professional. Uniformity and quality of the delivery of speech-language services in the state and quality delivery of speech-language pathology service via telecommunications and require out-of-state practitioners to hold a South Dakota license. And a sound budget approach is used in that the total expenses incurred by the board may not exceed total monies collected. If this bill passes, the governor will establish a board of examiners within 60 days from the time this bill is enacted. This bill would require that five persons serving on this bill be reimbursed at cost provided per diem pursuant to 4-7-10-4 in line with other state employees. However, fees collected through licensure would provide funds equal to or in excess of that required for the operation of this board. Thus, this process would be provided at no additional cost to state government. The time is now to pass this bill to provide clear benefits to the speech-language pathology profession in our state, and most importantly, to those served by these people and those who serve them. Let's provide structure for quality, accountability, and credibility for this profession. Please vote green on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Klocek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to sum up a little more condensed version of what the good Speaker from Spearfish said. I do agree 100% with what he said. The industry went, as we requested them to do, worked and had meetings throughout the summer and fall and addressed all the questions concerning licensing that we had. I did have two individuals, not within my district, but outside the district, that had concerns, and they addressed those concerns. And all the speech pathologists that have contacted us have had a willingness to work together, and I think everybody came together, and this is a good bill, and we ask for your green vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, our members of the body.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Liss.
Mr. Speaker, I have a question for the sponsor.
Please state your question.
Is this bill likely to raise the cost of this medical service for patients of speech pathology?
Representative Romkema, would you like to answer that question?
Yes. I suspect not any more than having a medical doctor, an audiologist, or anyone else that is a professional be licensed? My answer would be no.
Thank you. Representative Liss, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The costs of professions which are licensed tend to be much higher than those which aren't. And we're in the process of creating a new board and another license. And it's a lot like sales tax exemptions. You know, I guess every legislator has to decide where they're going to draw the line. And this bill has fairly large sections which seem to be dedicated to suppressing competition. And costs will tend to rise if competition is suppressed. There are dues and fees in here. And you know, there was a movie a while back. It was called The King's Speech, and it was a very dramatic movie about the King of England being unable to give a very necessary patriotic speech during World War II. And So an unlicensed speech pathologist, an uncredentialed person who worked quite brilliantly with the king, was the one who helped the king pull off this incredible speech. So I'm going to be voting red on this.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Further remark, Representative Rosam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, I think I can speak to this a little bit and perhaps answer the good representative's question. My daughter is a speech path. She does have her master's. She started out in the nursing home situation. She now works in the schools, and obviously most of her speech path now deals with helping students learn to pronounce their R's or L's or S's. However, she does make the same amount of money as those speech paths who do not hold a master's degree. The issue here, I think, as I visit with speech paths, and my daughter still does travel about to fill in, working in nursing homes, is you're working with some really life and death situations. If you're working with people who have swallowing issues, stroke victims, those sorts of things, those are very serious issues, and you need the training. The master's is very important, and I think, as we've talked in this body before, about the types of licensing that's needed in order to ensure that the people are receiving care that they should, it is imperative that we do this in the state of South Dakota. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, this will be a two-thirds vote because of the continuously appropriated fees that will be in here. Question before the House, final consideration of Senate Bill 72. All those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 53 yeas, 11 nays.
Senate Bill 72, having received two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Any questions with the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct. Representative Lust.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we defer the remainder of our calendar until the 24th legislative day.
All those in favor of the Lust motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. There being no objection, we'll revert back to order business number 5, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that House Bill 1009, 1010, 1026, 1027, 1028, 1044, and 1075 were delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 11:30 a.m. February 16, 2012. Respectfully submitted, Val Rausch, Chair.
Announcements? Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be no House taxation meeting on Tuesday.
Hoo-hoo. Further announcements, Representative Vanneman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also, enjoy your long weekend if you're in House Agriculture and Natural Resource. No committee on Tuesday.
Representative Virchow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hate to be a spoil sport, but we're going to go from 7:30 Tuesday morning. No, there is no transportation meeting on Tuesday.
Further announcements? Representative Munsterman?
There will be Health and Human Services meeting, 7:45 Tuesday morning. Be looking forward to your bright and smiley face.
Somebody's working on Tuesday. Representative Wink?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Appropriations will have bill hearings Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock.
Tuesday at 8. Very good. Further announcements? I have quite a few acts to sign, so please have a good weekend. Just make sure there's a couple around to adjourn, but travel safely and enjoy the long weekend. Speaker signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the excuse from attendance of children receiving alternative instruction. an act to revise certain outdated and obsolete provisions regarding the Department of Education. An act to repeal certain outdated and obsolete statutes regarding the Department of Education. An act to authorize the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks to sell a Mercot track located within the Mercata game production area in Meade County, City of Sturgis. An act to revise certain provisions regarding the rights of victims of crime. An act to authorize the publication of names of certain delinquent taxpayers. An act to clarify certain requirements relating to insurance examinations. An act to revise circumstances under which alterations may be made to certain insurance applications. An act to allow the disclosure of the status of certain insurance investigations and examinations. An act to establish and revise certain provisions and penalties related to the regulation of grain warehouses, grain buyers, and warehouse receipts. An act to revise the purpose of agriculture mediation program. An act to increase the penalty for leaving the brand inspection area without necessary inspection and authority. An act to make an appropriation for the payment of extraordinary litigation expenses and to declare an emergency. An act to authorize a carryover of fiscal year 2012 state aid to special education appropriation fiscal year 2013 for the purpose of maintaining federal maintenance of effort levels. An act to add certain definitions regarding the Department of the Military. An act to allow for joint physical custody orders after a court awards joint legal custody if in the best interest of the child. An act to permit probationer who is registered sex offender to reside in an assigned halfway house, supervised living center within the community safety zone. An act to amend certain provisions related to the interpreter services of court system. An act to clarify the supporting documentation necessary to request implement standard visitation guidelines. An act to revise certain provisions relating to the certificate of health requirement for importation of animals. An act to prohibit certain indemnity provisions in motor carrier transportation contracts. An act to exempt certain contracts from the competitive bidding requirements for water user districts. An act to revise provisions concerning mechanical pull tab devices. Still spelling my name right, ain't I? An act to remit the school district at the discretion of the school district to pay the fees charged for any criminal background investigation that is required by law for prospective employee. This is when I'm glad I'm not signing at Valentine. An act to remove the individual liability of a school board member who authorizes the making of a void contract, check, or register warrant. An act to establish provision to exempt breastfeeding mothers, new parents from jury duty. An act to limit copayment or coinsurance amounts for physical or occupational therapy services. An act to revise auditing requirements of water development districts. An Act to exempt from sales tax certain handling fees paid by religious organizations to approved relief agencies for the distribution of food which is provided for the assistance or relief of the poor, distressed, or underprivileged through food giveaway programs. An act to repeal the South Dakota Commission on Health Care. Any further announcements? Representative Turbeville.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion carries. We are adjourned.